Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys wrap up their preseason breakdowns with the NFC and the AFC East. The guys will also give their predictions on the NFC and the AFC playoff picture, their Super Bowl picks, and their week one locks and upsets. We got a lot to go over this week, but hey, what do they know?
What do they know? We are about to find out. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff with you again for our final preseason episode.
That's right.
Before real football.
Yep, it's finally your turn in the divisions.
I know. Save the best for last, am I right?
Yeah, we'll see about it. Yep.
So, but yes, we're going to break down. We got a full episode. We got a lot going on. We got the NFC and the AFC East breakdowns. Mm-hmm. We got to do our fantasy stuff as always. And then we're going to do our conference breakdowns, our Super Bowl predictions, and then our first week picks, our locks, our upsets. And so we got a lot to go over, but a couple top stories from the week. A lot happened. Two of the three receivers that we talked about last week have since signed.
Right.
Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, both signing big deals. Ja'Marr Chase is still a no-show. Still, I mean, he was at practice walking around in like street clothes for a period of time this week. So looks like that's going to continue. Had a couple more quarterbacks officially named starters this week. Russell Wilson with the Steelers. And Jacoby Brissett with the Patriots.
Right.
Both of those, I feel like were also pretty known. It was expected.
Yeah.
But a top story that I have that I want to get your take on, I don't even know if you've read anything about this. It's football related. It's just so weird to me.
Okay.
So Tom Brady, are you familiar with this story? You know, where I'm going to go with this.
No, I'm not.
So he is officially with Fox Sports this year. He's going to be with Kevin Burkhardt, the main color analyst, like for the main game on Fox every week.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also in the process of acquiring a share of ownership in the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
So that's happening simultaneously. Okay. They just came out this week and said that there's going to be literally Tom Brady rules, because if he's a part owner of a team, he can't criticize referees on air, and he can't be part of walkthroughs or production meetings before games, because they don't want him giving any information to his team.
Right, it's almost a conflict of interest.
Correct.
Right.
To me, this is just, I feel like, to your point, it's a conflict of interest, and one of them shouldn't even be allowed.
Right.
I feel like Fox has to pick, the NFL has to pick, Brady has to pick, like, what's most important? I just think the fact that they have to implement all these rules, not only that, but I think if he's not able to be part of production meetings, interviews,
right,
it's not going to be a good product. He's not going to be able to add those tidbits that you always hear from Romo or whatever. Like, oh, when we talked to him this week, we heard, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You're not going to have that from Brady.
Right.
I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be.
I'd look at what Fox, I guess, gave Tom Brady in terms of guaranteed money in that contract, because this is just a blow for Fox, if anyone, because this puts them in a predicament of, like, we just kicked out Greg Olson.
Right. who was great.
Yeah, who was fantastic in his role with Kevin Burkhardt. But I don't know. I don't like it in general. I'd rather you not do it. Wait until your broadcasting career is over, and then you can go back into football in whatever capacity you want to do it, whether that's your ownership with the Raiders or maybe go back to the Patriots or something, doing something like that. I don't mind. But right now in this timing, I'm call me weird or call me a little crazy, but I'm thinking it's a little selfish.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at Tom Brady at that, it's putting Fox in predicament. It's just not a good look for anyone, I feel like. And I didn't hear about the story, so it's out of the blue for me.
The pessimistic part of me says that if it were anybody else besides Tom Brady, the NFL would be nixing this. They'd be saying there's no way you can do both, like, you have to pick.
Right.
And of course, you know, it's Brady, and so they're gonna
Broadcasting gate.
Right. They're going to invent all these rules to what he can and cannot do for his other job.
Right.
I don't know, man. I just think it's a really interesting story. It's getting a lot of press. I'm kind of surprised that you hadn't heard about it or hadn't read about it. But the latest I had heard about the pre-production meetings, but the latest one I read just yesterday was that he's not allowed to criticize officiating during games, because, I mean, obviously coaches, owners, they get fined if they criticize officiating.
I feel like that's a big part of the broadcast 100%. System.
Yeah. What's he supposed to say? a questionable call comes up and he just has to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Perfect. He did good. It looked good to me. Yeah, that, like, what's he supposed to say?
It's exactly.
It's disingenuous. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know. I got a problem with it. I'll be curious to see if anybody else on here thinks the same way. Let us know.
Right.
But I thought that was a really interesting story to kind of kick us off.
Right.
Leading into the week. All right. We will dive right into it. As always, we're going to start with the NFC. Mm-hmm. First going to be the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
So 12-5 last year, third consecutive season of winning 12 games, but obviously they surprisingly got just basically dismantled by Green Bay in the wild card round.
Yep. I mean, it's Mike McCarthy's fifth year there. Obviously his seat has been hot since he got there. I mean, there's not really much job security with Dallas because they expect you to win right off the get go. I mean, he's produced winning seasons, but it's not what Dallas fans are wanting or need right now within their own mindset. Obviously, each year leading to disappointment with a regular season that gets your hopes up, it can be a little frustrating for that fan base.
And they didn't give him a vote of confidence at all. They didn't re-sign him. He's playing without, like, this is his last year on the contract, which mm-hmm. coaches almost never do.
Right. And I mean, I can't remember the last time a coach left their team without getting fired or something.
Yeah.
It's not like their contract just expires either. So, I mean, Jerry Jones is kind of getting up there in age as well. I mean, people have been calling for him to kind of relinquish his GM duties anyway for quite a while. But I mean, at some point you kind of have to just allow, I guess, football and new minds to kind of take over on this one. I mean, you just gave CeeDee Lamb his big deal. Dak Prescott's making huge money against your salary cap this year.
And he's still waiting for another extension.
And he's waiting for another extension.
He's probably going to get $60 to $70 million a year after this year.
And that's probably going to be half your cap right there. So I feel like the Cowboys are kind of in a predicament that where this needs to be their year, or else they're going to have to blow it up some way. Because I don't know if you can afford to pay Dak and remain competitive, because CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, it's too much money into your salary cap. So if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm looking at someone who's just going to be a money wizard. Maybe make the money work, voidable years, whatever you want to do with Dak Prescott's new contract. But this is the year for them. In terms of what they have on the field, it's still pretty solid. It's not necessarily incredible. It's not going to blow you out of the water or anything, but I think it's a solid get you in the playoff and see where it goes type team. They brought back Ezekiel Elliott, someone who's familiar. Eric Kendricks back at the linebacker position. I mean, they have weapons surrounding Prescott, but it's just going to be can they finally put it together at the right time? It's a group that's been together. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little gun shy on them this year. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the way that last season ended and the fact that all that's happened, they didn't do anything in free agency.
Right.
Nothing. They brought back Zeke.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they cut him for a reason 2 years ago.
Right.
They thought that Tony Pollard was going to be the guy. Obviously, he ended up not being the guy. He walked this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought back Zeke essentially to be their lead back. And I just don't know
if he's got
it. I just don't know how that's going to work.
Right.
So I'm a little pessimistic or gun shy on their run game.
Right.
I don't know. I like what they did on defense, bringing in Mike Zimmer as the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be huge. Obviously they're replacing big shoes with Dan Quinn.
Right.
But I think Zimmer has proven he's a solid defensive mind. So I like that. They lost Tyron Smith, their big left tackle. Obviously they let him go. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth.
Salary cap.
So, and he's getting up there in age.
Yep.
But he's still a huge, he can be,
he's definitely an asset.
He's a weapon.
Yep.
I wrote down here, Jerry Jones is his biggest enemy.
Yep.
I think that he just cannot get out of his own way.
Right.
And you know, a lot of people will say that he's more concerned with the value of the team rather than what they're putting out on the field.
Right.
He keeps saying things like we're all in, but he doesn't back it up with what he's doing financially or with who he's adding or what he's doing.
Right. I mean, as Dallas, obviously, like you said, he's more about the brand. He approaches the football stance as more of a businessman than, I guess, a football mind. And that's always been the problem. I guess people have always asked him to relinquish his GM duties. Obviously, Dak Prescott's a big name. CeeDee Lamb's a big name. So those are the guys you're going to give money to. But the problem is you got 50 other players that you need to pay and right. And positions you need to fill. Obviously, I guess the problem I have with them right now is they're aging. Their offensive line is still solid, but they've lost some guys. Like you said, Smith is now with the Jets, I believe.
Yep.
So they drafted a tackle, Tyler Guyton, in the first round. So that brings them a little bit of youth. But in terms of paying these people, they're starting to get to that age where they need their extensions and whatnot. But it's a double-edged sword. They're going to walk eventually, and that's why I'm saying this needs to be the year, or else it's going to be a whole implosion in 100%. Dallas.
Yeah, if they have a similar result as last year,
oh, absolutely.
I think Dak is gone. I think McCarthy's gone. I think they're going to tear it down.
Yeah.
And CD is going to be wishing he hadn't signed that extension.
Right. I mean, defensively, they still have DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. So, I mean, you have a good foundation there. Yeah. The problem is how long will they be there?
Yep. So, agreed.
Yep.
All right. Shifting gears to the New York Giants.
Okay.
6-11 last year. Obviously missed the playoffs. Daniel Jones got hurt midway through the season with a torn ACL. They're big. Acquisition this year was via the draft, drafting Malik Nabers, the stud receiver out of LSU,
right?
Number 6 overall. So they're really excited about him. He's already been looking really good in camp and in preseason. So I think he's going to be a big weapon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the big departure was Saquon,
right?
Going to the Eagles, who we'll cover next. And they brought in Devin Singletary to replace him, which, you know, obviously he's no Saquon, but I've always been a huge Devin Singletary fan, and I really like the chemistry or the history that he has with Brian Daboll in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's going to know how to use him, it's going to be Daboll.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he's still not Saquon Barkley. I love how he runs. He never gets tackled the first guy. He's always, you know, yard after catch, yard after contact guy.
Mm-hmm.
Love his energy, but, you know, I think he can only do so much when you're trying to replace a guy like Saquon.
Yeah, I mean, they lost quite a bit of talent. Obviously, Xavier McKinney, I feel like, is the highlighted name of that defense.
Yep.
Probably one of the best, if not the best, safety in the league last year. So he went to Green Bay. So that's going to be a huge dent in their defense. Dory Jackson, cornerback. So that secondary is going to be looking a little thin until some cornerbacks gain experience. And
they just brought him back this week. Adoree Jackson.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. Yep. Just nice. Literally like 3 days ago.
Perfect. Oh, look at that.
They heard you.
They heard me. Yeah, way to go. Okay. Darren Waller, obviously retired.
Yeah.
He pursuing his rap career. So
is that why he retired?
I think he was doing something with it. I know he put out a video for it, but
my goodness.
I don't think he, maybe we'll see if there's future music in the future. But they shored up their backup position for QB. Drew Lock is now their backup. Whether that's a positive or negative, we'll see. But it's at least it's something.
Yeah.
Devin Singletary, like you said, Brian Burns is the biggest acquisition defensively that they made. They traded with the Panthers.
Yep.
Obviously, we discussed it when we talked about the NFC South last week about how you're rebuilding there in Carolina, but you trade away your best player.
Yeah.
Essentially. So I mean, that's a big get for New York.
To be honest, that move kind of just confused me. I just felt like they could have spent that money because they gave him, I want to say, $28 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
They could have spent that money elsewhere. He was a big part of, or his acquisition was a big part of the HBO show that they did this offseason, Hard Knocks, the offseason with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I took from that, and I know a lot of people commented on it also, is that it kind of just looked like their GM, Joe, I think his name's Joe Shane, something like that. He didn't have a plan. Like he had no plan. Like they have no identity.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like he's just like picking pieces and trying to like piece it together.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brian Burns thing, like, okay, yeah, I get what he's trying to do with him and Thibodeau on the other side of the defensive line. Like they're going to have a great line, but I still think they could have used that money on a better running back than Singletary.
Mm-hmm.
They could have added another wide receiver. I know, obviously, they drafted Nabers, but I just feel like they need weapons for Daniel Jones. This is an absolute make or break year for Jones. This is going to dictate whether he comes back next year or whether he's backing up somewhere.
Right.
And I just feel like the Brian Burns thing is great. Like, yeah, he's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just felt like it just didn't make a whole lot of sense
to
me personally.
Yeah, no, I understand the thing. I mean, linebacker wasn't, I guess, your greatest weakness last year. I mean, I think it was your offensive line. You couldn't really do much of anything.
Yeah. And to their credit, they did invest in the offensive line. Mm-hmm.
So, well, like you said, it's definitely allocating resources where you need to allocate resources. Obviously, when it comes to knowing what players to find and what positions to fill, that's where you have to rely on your coaches. And you saw the Hard Knocks more than I did. I've only seen video clips here and there on Facebook or TikTok or something. You had that one guy talking about Saquon getting this much money, and then GM just completely ignoring the entire thing.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds more if he's a reactionary type of guy more than a pro-action type of GM. So that can definitely burn you. But getting Brian Burns, that's a special talent. I
100%.
I can't see too much going wrong with it right now. But, I mean, obviously when you pay a player, you always have you might have buyer's remorse. It opens you up for buyer's remorse. I don't know. I don't know about the Giants. They didn't really do too much to like you said, give Daniel Jones the weapons or the formula that he needs to succeed in New York.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rough year. I really do.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a rough year for Big Blue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, jumping over to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
11-6 last year. Obviously they lost to the Bucks in the wild card round. They completely fell apart in the second half. They started out the season 10-1 and ended up 11-6, obviously going 1-5 in their last, six games.
Six games. Yeah.
Their biggest thing here, I have a really interesting story that I heard this week around, Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. Obviously their stud center, been there a million years, mm-hmm. just retired.
Right.
There was an interview with, their quarterback. Why am I?
Jalen Hurts.
Thank you. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts this week talking about what the departure of Jason Kelce is going to mean to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a clip where he basically said, I was told previously to let him take care of a lot of things. So there were a lot of things that I didn't even dive into and aren't familiar with.
Right.
He said, so I'm having to learn a lot of stuff, but I'm, you know, open to the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That just scares the crap out of me. If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm like, oh no,
uh-huh.
because your quarterback should be involved and know every aspect of your offense.
Right.
There shouldn't be things that you should be leaving to your center to handle. Like that to me just says it's really a sign of poor leadership,
mm-hmm.
From whether it was the offensive coordinator, the head coach. I don't know. Obviously their old OC Ben Johnson is not there anymore.
Right.
The offense last year was not a good.
Yeah, they kind of fell apart.
Yeah, they fell apart at the end along with the rest of the team.
Right.
But I just thought that was really, really interesting and something that I myself am going to keep an eye on this year with Hurts.
Mm-hmm. That is an interesting story that you brought up.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Jason Kelce's kind of like seen everything, every coverage, every little nick and knack that a defense can throw at you. So you kind of allow him to shift the line wherever he sees fit. But like you said, this is something Jalen Hurts should have been picking up as he's been developing connection with Jason Kelce over the years that have already passed before his retirement. This is exactly the GM with the Giants. You're reacting to something rather than being proactive and foreseeing this problem that's going to eventually pop up on you. I think they brought in another center. Is it Connor McGovern that they have now? Center? They have someone.
I'm not sure.
Or they drafted someone. I can't remember. But however, at the same time, it's all on you now. It's now on you, Hurts. So you have an amazing arm talent. Obviously, you can run any defense with your legs. You have the weapons around you, especially with Barkley now in your backfield. But now it's going to be more of a mental phase, and you're going to wonder how much that's definitely going to carry on him or how much that's going to affect his gameplay.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about how hot seat. Nick Sirianni probably has the hottest hot seat of everybody. He had a really, I guess the word would be infamous, not famous, quote last year when they were asking him, like, hey, what's going on with the team?
Hmm.
And he said, if I had the answers, we wouldn't be here. So basically admitting like he had no idea what was going on with his team.
Right.
Not what you want to hear from your head coach.
Right.
So I'm really curious to see how he looks this year. And I feel like, we talked about a no show of faith with Mike McCarthy. I feel like the same thing happened with Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles. He picked the coordinators this year,
mm-hmm.
not Sirianni.
Okay.
So he brought in Vic Fangio on the defense. He brought in Kellen Moore on the offense, not Sirianni, which obviously everybody knows the head coach picks the coordinators.
Right.
So that to me is very, very interesting because it tells me, like, dude, I have very little faith in what you're doing.
That's setting him up for a midseason fire right
Correct.
There. You know, because he thinks either
Agreed.
Fangio or Kellen Moore can take over the head coaching position as soon as Sirianni shows he's not showing any promise anymore in the season. But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Now, having said all of that, obviously, I feel like we're starting out with everything negative possible about the Eagles.
Right.
I think they're going to turn it around this year.
Mm-hmm.
I have high hopes for the Eagles. I think obviously bringing Saquon over was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I love what they did signing Bryce Huff, the pass rusher specialist from the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's a stud. Obviously, they traded their problem child with Hassan Reddick. So he's gone. They brought in Huff to replace him. Seems like a great move now.
Mm-hmm.
I think A.J. Brown, we know the weapons, right? Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Like, they have the pieces, and I really don't feel like that team collectively, maybe not because of Sirianni, but all the leaders, like, they're not going to let them have that free fall again.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually really think that they're going to bounce back.
Right.
And I know we started out with everything negative possible about them, but
there's a but here.
There is. For me, there is.
Right.
I really think that they're going to bounce back. And ultimately, I'm going to pick them to win the division.
Mm, okay. Yeah. I mean, they obviously have the talent, and there's never been a question about the talent. It's just, I feel like it's all mental with that team. And I mean, you got to question Hurts's, I guess, leadership capabilities at this point, because like you need to rally your troops, especially last year at 1-5. Your leadership is going to call into question. Why? Like, how did you do this?
Yeah.
How did you start off so hot and then you just fell apart at the end of the year? So I feel like he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. Obviously, he's going to learn a lot more with now Jason Kelce gone, but he has the talent and and I feel like he will turn it around. He will get that team ready on game day. But I think a big defensive improvement they had is they signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was a big vocal and example leader back when they made their Super Bowl run over, 2 years ago,
yep.
I believe?
Yep.
So, obviously, he went to Detroit, I feel like, last year. Came back this year, so... Obviously, he's a trash talker.
Oh yeah,
but at least he has the swag to back it up.
Yep.
So I feel like that'll give him a little attitude back in that defense that they sorely needed last year. So, but yeah,
awesome. All right, transitioning over to the Washington Commanders.
The Commanders,
4-13 last year. A lot of new pieces, both on the coaching staff and on the actual roster. Obviously, they brought over Dan Quinn, new head coach. He brought over Cliff Kingsbury to be the OC. Really like that move a lot.
Me too.
That to pair him with Jaden Daniels, obviously their number two overall pick from LSU.
Right.
You think about Kingsbury's history, I feel like Daniels and Kyler Murray kind of have a similar skill set.
Right.
Both being mobile, both being, having, really good arms. So I feel like his offense will cater really well to Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
I think, obviously they brought over Austin Ekeler, Zach Ertz. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Ekeler and Brian Robinson. I don't know who's going to be the lead back, what's going to happen there. I think that Ekeler still has a lot of meat left on the bone. I don't think that he should be like a backup role, but I don't know how that's going to work.
I mean, Ekeler has his own injury problems.
True. Very true.
So I feel like he should be the change of pace back and almost probably take the share of like 60-40% to begin the year. But because I feel like Ekeler, like you said, Ekeler still has a lot of juice in those legs. So Brian Robinson obviously is a little bit more unproven, but he had a decent year last year. But he's reliant enough to be an RB1, but not, I don't think he's going to overtake Ekeler to begin with the season.
Yeah.
To begin with. But Cliff Kingsbury to me is the biggest, I guess, variable there. I like you said, I love that move. He's not the head coach anymore. He doesn't have that pressure. Like we talked about it all last year when we were doing our breakdowns about Arizona, how Cliff Kingsbury was just breaking down. You could just see it so visibly in his face, how it was just wearing on him. And not having that pressure anymore, I feel like he can just have fun.
That's the thing. Like, no, he can coach offenses. He can coach quarterbacks like nobody's business.
Right.
I feel like taking him out of the head coaching role and just giving him this assignment is going to be great.
Yeah.
And I really, I love Jaden Daniels. Obviously came from ASU. Didn't stay in ASU, but probably the best decision he ever made for his career. Probably wouldn't have won the Heisman.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have got the second overall pick, but I digress.
Right.
Still an ASU product. So big fan of his. Right. And I think that he's going to have a phenomenal year, but a great career as well. So I'm really excited for him. And I'm curious to see what it does for Terry McLaurin. Because I feel like he has really been the product of poor quarterback play the last, three, 4 years?
Yeah, ever since he entered the league.
Yeah, pretty much ever since he got there. So I expect a big year from him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you finally have a competent quarterback with a decent arm and that'll can read some defenses. Yeah, and extend plays with his legs. Yeah, that's definitely going to be nothing but positive results for McLaurin.
Yep. So,
and with Cliff Kingsbury, sign me right up for that team.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right, we'll do our NFC East predictions real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
So like you, I got the Eagles winning the division. Cowboys second, Commanders on third. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Commanders make some noise in that division, to be honest with you. That's a decent offense, but I think they're a year or two away from really making a good run at it. And then fourth, Giants, I feel like they might be in the running for the worst team in the league, to be honest.
I agree, 100%.
Yep.
I have the Commanders in second.
Ooh,
ahead of the Cowboys.
Okay.
So I'm high on the Commanders. I'm high on the Eagles. And I just think the Cowboys are going to take a step back this year.
Okay.
I really do.
I hear you. Okay.
So we'll see what happens there. That could make me look really foolish if the Cowboys go on a huge Super Bowl run, but we'll see. All right. Jumping into the AFC East, my favorite division.
Right.
We're going to start with the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
11-6 last year, lost to Kansas City in the divisional round. I'm curious to see what you think of them this year.
Honestly, I don't know what to think of them.
I know.
I have a little tidbit on every team that says biggest question mark, and right here I put everything. Because I don't know the answer for any of this. They revamped their entire roster outside of Josh Allen. Wide receivers, basically on it.
Did they revamp or did they get worse?
I think they got worse.
I agree.
But I'm trying to say revamp to give some positive lighting into the Buffalo Bills.
I'm hearing on national radio people saying that they're still the biggest competition to the Chiefs in the AFC, and I just don't see that at all. People are going to think that I'm a Bills hater because I'm a Jets fan. That's not the case. I love Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. We live in upstate New York, so it's really fun around here when the Bills win.
Right.
So I'm not a hater. I don't see on paper how they can be as good as they were last year.
This just goes to show how much of a quarterback driven league this entire product is. I mean, you have a good quarterback, all of a sudden you're in the elite. You're in the elite
every
contender
year.
Every year, regardless of what the rest of the roster is. I mean, you got Khalil Shakir as your number one receiver
with Keon Coleman, a rookie.
What are we doing?
Right.
I'm sorry, but what are we doing there? I mean, they had to basically cut their entire defense for cap compliance. Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, all gone.
Yep.
It's
Jordan defensive Phillips. Tackle gone.
You can name their entire roster from last year, and they're probably gone.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, this is why.
And not only that, but one of the guys. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but one of the guys that they did keep, they're arguably their best defensive player, Matt Milano, tore his bicep. And is out until at least December.
Yep.
So that's a massive, massive storyline. I feel like injuries are a big part with this team already.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Matt Milano. Curtis Samuel has the dreaded turf toe. That is an injury that seems like it should be about a day, but it takes everybody months and months to come back.
Right.
So he was going to be a big part of the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, they signed as their deep threat. He has a neck injury.
Right.
I don't think that he's going to be ready to start week one.
Yeah.
Trubisky had a knee injury. It sounds like he's okay. He's going to be the second, obviously second string.
Right.
But it's like, it was kind of like one thing after another with this team in the preseason. So they're not starting out the best. I just don't I joked around with somebody at work this week, like Josh Allen can't throw it to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I feel. Like, obviously I feel like the two people that are going to benefit the most from what they did is Dalton Kincaid and James Cook. I think James Cook is going to have an enormous year.
Okay.
Enormous.
Yeah.
I just think he's going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have more than that.
Right.
You got to have more than a really good running. I mean, unless you're the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. I feel like everything on paper tells me that they're going to be worse. My only thing that makes me pause is it going to be addition by subtraction with Stephon Diggs.
Right.
Are they going to be that much better, playing that much freer, have better chemistry because he was just that much of a cancer that we didn't know?
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's gone, you know, everybody's in a better mood. Is that going to be, is that a real thing? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when you're in a better mood and you enjoy the people you work with, that definitely elevates your play.
Chemistry is a real thing.
Oh, absolutely. The problem becomes is the chemistry can't substitute talent. In the greatest of degrees, I suppose.
Agreed.
And I mean, you got, like I said, Shakir, Curtis Samuel, and then Keon Coleman as I guess your top three wide receivers. I mean, like you said, Keon Coleman's a second round pick.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. Just maybe not this year.
Right. Exactly. He needs some time to develop there. I mean, he might be poised for a big year because they need someone to step up to that number one receiver role. Defensively, at least they still have their cornerbacks in Rasul Douglas, Christian Bedford, Teron Johnson. Those guys will at least get them through the darkest of times.
Von Miller's still there, right?
Von Miller.
I feel like I didn't hear a single thing about him this offseason. I'm pretty sure he's still there.
Yep, but I feel like the Bills just every year it's injury after injury. I feel like they have to be in the running for the most injuries the past 5 years. Their entire window that Josh Allen has been here.
They had a lot last year,
so
too.
It's ridiculous. So to me, it's hard to say, but I feel like their window is kind of closed. Like I want to say close shut, but I don't think there's a breeze coming in. I'll tell you that. So I mean, the one thing they had going for them, they had 10 draft picks, so they brought in some youth. They needed that for especially Josh Allen's big deal. That's going to be affecting their cap for a little while. But it's definitely, I feel like it's going to be some dark days ahead for Buffalo for a bit. So, we'll see. Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson just completely annihilates that defense and what their identity was.
Yeah, I agree. All right, jumping over to the Miami Dolphins. 11-6 last year, lost to the Chiefs in the wild card round in the -10-degree frozen tundra game.
Yeah, where the fans got like frostbitten or something. Yep.
So my biggest thing here, I wrote down, can the offense continue? Mm-hmm. Can they be as prolific as they were last year?
I feel like they kind of can't.
I agree.
I mean, they retained all their other big weapons. Hill.
They signed OBJ. Yep. Don't sleep on that.
Odell.
I think that's going to be that could be a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I mean, Mostert, I mean, he's a year older, but they still got, what's his name?
Devon Achane.
Achane. That's how you pronounce it. And then Tua's still there. I mean, it's
Tua got paid.
Yeah. Tua got paid. I mean, and they brought in Jonnu Smith as a tight end, receiving tight end. Yep. So, I mean, you're just adding weapons there. To me, the offense should remain potent. It's just what I read was their offensive line and defensive line just are not up to par with what the rest of the team is.
It's funny because I literally wrote down they lost weapons on both lines.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Wilkins on the defensive line, he went big to Vegas. And then Robert Hunt, he was a really prolific guard last year, went over to Carolina.
Yep.
Raekwon Davis. Both sides of the ball. Yep. They're losing a big piece.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't superb last year, so losing those guys this year is just another, I guess, trench in the fork.
They lost Xavien Howard too.
Xavien Howard,
yeah,
yep, cornerback. So it's, I mean, you have the big stars there, and you have the talent, but you'll put their top 10 players against anybody else's top 10 players,
100%.
But the problem is, there's 22 players in the field at all times, and then you've got 53 players on a roster. So the rest of them, are they going to live up to the par and live up to expectations that Miami kind of has developed under Mike McDaniels? I don't know. I still think they're going to be a top three offense.
I agree.
Their defense, where that puts them, I don't know.
Can they beat a winning team?
That was their struggle.
Because it's got to be somewhat mental at this point,
mm-hmm.
right? They beat up on all the little kids last year, mm-hmm. all the weaker opponents, the losing records. And I don't have their record offhand, but it was not good against winning teams.
Right.
So can they do that this year? That's going to be a big question. I don't know what causes that. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Miami's a good team. So to say that they were just lucky, I don't, that's not a thing.
Right.
But for them to consistently perform below average against winning teams is, I don't know.
Right.
That's interesting to me.
And they're in a division that's going to have winning teams with maybe Buffalo, but definitely I feel like New York. The Jets will definitely be a lot better than they were last year with competent QB play. So Miami, you always talk about playing to your level. Miami just played at a constant level regardless. So they weren't playing to your competition or whatever. They were just level. And so if they were better than you, they showed out.
Yep.
If they were worse than you, they showed out that they were worse than you. So yeah, like I said, Mike McDaniel's third year here, he's been nothing but I guess a superstar there. He's kind of developed that shining star, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of offensive coordinators that are going to get poached from his tree in the future. The problem is, can he win in Miami though? I don't think he can because of those trenches. I think they need to allocate a lot more resources there to really make a big run, because right now you can throw the ball up and have Tyreek Hill outrun everybody and catch the ball right now. But eventually I feel like that's going to catch up to you eventually.
Agreed. So did we talk about the Tua interview already on the last couple episodes with Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel? Did we talk about that?
We have not.
Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Okay, so this was, I think, 2 weeks ago.
You're my newsbreaker.
He was on the Dan Le Batard podcast.
Okay.
And they basically were asking him the difference between, like, what's the big difference? What are you seeing between Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel? And he literally, he goes, all right, so imagine this. He goes, and no. I'm paraphrasing, but this is essentially what he said.
Uh-huh.
He said, imagine you go to work every day and your boss tells you that you stink, that you suck, that you're horrible, that you're not the right person for the job, that you're not doing well.
Right.
And then you have a new boss who comes in and says, good job. You're exactly what this offense needs. You're the person for this.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was like, how are you going to feel about that? Right. Essentially intimating that Brian Flores, all he did was knock him down.
Right.
And Mike McDaniel came in and built him up.
Right.
So I think that was one eye opening. It tells you kind of a little bit about Tua's personality and the fact that he needs to be reassured rather than, you know, one of those guys that coaches hard in your face, like yelling at you sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll prove you wrong type.
Correct. Person, yeah, he's not that. Yeah. He's not that guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy that needs to be reassured and maybe, you know, nice little pat on the butt saying good job.
Right.
But I say that to say about your comment about Mike McDaniel. I truly think he's the perfect coach for that team and the
No, absolutely.
The guys that are on that team right now.
I think he's like a rich man's Cliff Kingsbury almost. Like, he's an offensive genius, but he's a decent head coach. I mean,
he's such a weird guy.
I know. It's just
he's such a weird guy.
Yeah, you know, like you look at him, you don't think of head football coach.
Correct.
But the problem is I don't know if he takes it seriously, the defensive side of things and the trenches part of the whole formula to really create the ultimate winner there in Miami. That's the one, I guess, knock I have on Mike McDaniels is the trenches, the big guys, and your defense. Offense. Yeah. If he was offense coordinator, sign me right up. I'll sign him to a 10-year lifetime extension.
Yep.
Yep.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. So jumping over to the New England Patriots.
You're saving the Jets for last.
Hey, I did the same thing with the Saints. All right.
Yeah, you did.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So 4-13 last year. Shut up. 4-13 last year. A lot of changes with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the era of Bill Belichick is officially gone.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo, the new head coach.
Right.
They drafted Drake May from North Carolina, number 3 overall, to be their future quarterback. All signs point to the fact that he's going to essentially be redshirted this year. Jacoby Brissett is QB1.
Right.
He did look good in the preseason. He being Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that they're not sending him out there right away.
Right.
If it were up to me, I think we've talked about this. A rookie quarterback would never play.
Yeah.
In their first year.
Yeah. I mean, your passing game was kind of your weakness. I mean, I feel like you shouldn't put Drake May out there until you have the weapons around him that are going to make you feel secure that he's going to absolutely show development and show you what he's got. If he's not the guy, obviously, if you have the weapons around him, you know, if he's missing passes, it's going to be on him and not on your receivers. And so to me, it's a brand new page, a whole new chapter, a whole new book at this point for New England. You're not going to fire Gerard Mayo after a year. I feel like you shouldn't.
No,
you shouldn't. No. Regardless of what result, you can go 0-17. As long as that locker room is not lost, it's hard not to lose locker room at 0-17, but at the same time, you're looking at these players almost as like an extended preseason. You're looking at who you want to build around at this point. Drake May is obviously your QB of the future for right now. Jacoby Brissett is just going to go out there and try to win you as many games as he can. I mean, he's definitely serviceable. It's not like he's going to go. You're putting a liability out there. He's been around. As you got Ramondre Stevenson in your backfield, that's pretty good. Antonio Gibson, you signed out from the Commanders, so that's pretty solid 1-2 duo there in the backfield.
I really like DeMario Douglas.
DeMario Douglas,
wide receiver, he's a little slot, speedy guy, pass catching machine. Yep. And he's one of those like 5 or 6 yard catches, take it for another 5 yards sort of guy.
Yep.
Kendrick Bourne-Killer. Like him, but to your point. The guys we just named, that's not enough weapons.
Right, right.
It's not. And that's why Warren, I love that they're not sending Drake May out there, because they just don't have the talent around him yet to be successful.
Right. You can't even gauge. At that point, you're just making him lose confidence at that point.
Correct.
And then you're just...
They're going to do... Yeah. If they had sent him out there, it's exactly what the Mac Jones result. It would be the same thing, in my opinion.
Exactly. I mean, at this point, you kind of need... I guess a QB whisper as your offense coordinator. I mean, I was surprised who it was, Alex Van Pelt. I mean, for a second, I was like, isn't that the guy from SportsCenter? I was like,
probably a distant cousin.
Probably. Mm. So that made me have a little chuckle. So it's just, to me, this year is about Drake May's development. What's she showing on the practice field? And then eventually, probably last quarter of the season, you put him out there, see what you got, and give him some reps, and then go from there into year two of Drake May. But For right now, don't set expectations hard. Don't. If you're a New England fan, watch the Red Sox.
I was just going to say, wait till next year.
Yeah, watch the Red Sox. Yep.
Agreed.
Just be happy with the Celtics. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a similar conversation with the Giants. I think they're going to be lower third at least of the NFL.
Yeah, they'll be playing each other for like the number one overall pick at that point. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
I'll let you. You let me talk about the Saints.
All right, this is so all you. Jeff, look at my. So we take notes for every team.
Right.
Right. Look what I wrote for the Jets. All I wrote.
You have one line. It says Aaron Rodgers.
That's it. That is the easiest way that I can simplify if this team is going to be good or if it's going to be a repeat of their 7-10 disaster of a season last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. If he is even an average quarterback, they will make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best roster that they have had in years.
Oh, yeah.
They brought over Mike Williams to be the number two wide receiver, deep threat. Breece Hall is going to have an incredible year. Garrett Wilson is going to have an incredible year. Obviously, health pending with both them and Aaron Rodgers. Their defense is incredible on all three levels.
Mm-hmm.
They have arguably, in my opinion, they have the best corner duo, but also their slot corner, Michael Carter III, is the best slot corner in the NFL. Look at his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They did lose Bryce Huff to the Eagles, but I think that defensive line is still incredible. They brought over Sheldon Rankins. They have Jermaine Johnson, Quinn Williams, the best linebacker duo in the league, even ranked that way with CJ Mosley and Quincy Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They're number one and two in Pro Football Focus. So they have their defense is elite.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense will keep them in every single game. It's just a matter of if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy. And in all reality, how is he going to, even if he is healthy, how's he going to look?
Right.
Coming off, you know, he's a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
How is he going to look?
Right.
Playing no preseason snaps. I'm not mad about that. I'm fine. Keep him off the field until it actually matters.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that nobody's going to really know how he looks. And also, I'm literally going to watch every single snap holding my breath this year because I just feel like if somebody breathes wrong on him, he might fall down and be out.
Right.
Well,
this brings up the next question. I feel like my biggest concern with the Jets is their offensive line. How are they looking?
But so I'm glad you brought that up. Yep. They completely revamped their offensive line.
Okay.
Moses, they traded from Baltimore. Morgan Moses, they traded him. They brought him over. They signed Tyron Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted, I'm not going to be able to say his name,
Olufashanu.
Thank you.
Fashanu.
Penn State.
Yep.
They brought over another guy too. They have almost they're getting Elijah Vera Tucker back from injury.
Okay.
They drafted him 2 years ago in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
He's had two season-ending injuries both years, but when he's played, he's looked phenomenal.
Okay.
So their offensive line, Joe Douglas even said this week in like the GM press conference that in his 4 or 5 years, this is the best far and away he's felt about their offensive line. So I mean, on paper, this is probably the best roster they've had in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you right now, as I was like researching the AFC East, I was looking at the Jets and I was like, I don't see a single hole in this roster, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like if everyone's healthy, there's not a single hole in this roster. Yeah. I was very impressed.
It's amazing. Yep. They Joe Douglas did every single thing that he needed to do this offseason, mm-hmm. including taking care of the backup situation. God forbid something happens to Aaron Rodgers. Yep. They brought over Tyrod Taylor, mm-hmm. who I love. Mm-hmm. And he's at least a competent backup
right.
that can throw the ball.
Yeah, you know what to expect from him rather than try to, I guess, rally Zach Wilson's confidence or Simeon and whoever else they had back there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I after last year, people laugh at me when I say this, but like I'm done having expectations. I literally could have cried last year, four plays into the season, seeing him go down, seeing him tear his Achilles,
right.
knowing that the season is effectively over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was week one.
Right.
Knowing that I had to sit through 17 more games or 16 more games.
That's so brutal.
It was the worst.
That's so brutal.
It was the worst. Like that week, we've talked about it, but like that week one Monday night game was the biggest swing of emotions I've ever experienced as a sports fan. Seeing him go down, the way they won with the walk-off touchdown in overtime,
yeah, the punt
and then having the excitement kind of settle down a little bit and realizing that the season's still over.
Right.
It was, I don't want to do that again. I just don't want to do it again. So I'm really, really hoping that he can stay healthy and that it's at least a fun year.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
But on paper, they should be very, very good.
Yeah. Like I said, the offensive line was the only, I guess, hiccup that I was worried about. Obviously you have a lot more in-depth knowledge than I do about the Jets. So it's fun to hear you clear things. My concerns up really yeah. swell. So yeah, I mean, the Jets, the sky's the limit for them. To be honest with that defense and Robert Saleh being the defensive hero he is, but at the same time, Robert Saleh, he's on the hot seat as well.
100%.
There's no more excuses.
Him, Joe Douglas, Aaron Rodgers,
yep.
all of it.
Yep.
If something happens again this year, it's going to be, they're going to yep. tear it all down.
Yep. No more chances.
Yep.
Yep.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's my bold prediction. Ready?
Oh no.
God forbid something happens. Rodgers gets injured. Maybe he sucks this year. Something happens. They don't make the playoffs or uh-huh. it doesn't go. I want them to sign Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
Bring up. He's a plug and play.
Interesting.
Bring him over. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. That's, I mean, I have not heard that from one single person,
uh-huh.
but that's my hope. And my goal is that God forbid something happens that they go after him next year.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is only signed for this year, isn't he? Is this his last year?
I believe
because it was a 2-year contract and last year was one and two. So, I mean, regardless,
there's no guarantees passed this year.
Yeah. Even if Rodgers plays well, I mean, he's going to be 41. You can still sign Dak Prescott
right.
afterwards.
Right.
Oh,
that's my bold kind of hot take there.
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right. So let's do our rankings.
All right. Well, I'll go first.
Okay.
I got the Jets winning the division.
Hey, so I don't.
Let me erase this real quick. Oh my goodness. After I just hyped you up. Number two, I got the Dolphins. I just don't know what the Bills are going to do. I just don't know what product they're going to have. I just, there's too many questions there, but I have the Bills in third and then the Patriots in fourth.
Yeah. I just have the Dolphins and Jets flip-flopped. So Dolphins first.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Dolphins first, Jets second, Bills third.
You're being very cautious.
I told you, dude, I can't do it.
I can't
put them in first place.
Okay.
I can't.
Well, I can't, so I'm
doing it.
So.
All right. I like it. Let's do our fantasy perspective. We each had two drafts last night being Friday, and we have two more on Sunday.
Mm.
So we have a couple more opportunities to listen to our own strategies.
Right.
I'll go first with the NFC.
Okay.
My must-have is A.J. Brown,
okay.
who I actually drafted in both my leagues yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's going to have a really good year. I think he's a clear cut number one. When him and Jalen Hurts are going well, he is phenomenal.
Right.
He's going to carry your team from a PPR perspective, touchdowns, yardage. He's got everything.
Mm.
So really excited about him. I'm staying away from Zeke. I'm staying far, far away from Ezekiel Elliott. I just don't have the faith that he has the agility, the speed, the quickness anymore to be a lead back.
Mm.
I know he'll probably get some cursory, catches out of the backfield, maybe some PPR value. But I just don't expect him to put up numbers,
right?
Honestly.
Okay.
And then my sleeper, I don't really know if he's a sleeper, but Malik Nabers, I think is going to have a really, really good year. He's going to be the one shining light for the Giants this year.
Okay. Okay. not bad. Okay, well, my must-have is Barkley, Saquon Barkley. Okay. I feel like he's just going to carry on what DeAndre Swift and Miles Sanders were doing in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Yeah, Barkley is a special talent. He's far, I wouldn't say far superior, but he's definitely superior than those two backs. He brings an extra dimension to that offense that I feel like they needed last year. Stay away. I got Devin Singletary. I know how much you like him. I like him a lot too. It's just I'm not sure about him in that offense and with that team. That offensive line just is not convincing enough for me to put him out there.
Okay.
And sleeper, like you said, I'm not sure if this is a sleeper, but Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
I feel like he's being drafted pretty low in drafts, but he. With a competent quarterback, I feel like he's poised to make a really good have a really good season. Maybe a borderline wide receiver one to a top wide receiver two. That would definitely be someone I'd be targeting.
Okay, AFC. I kind of already talked about it. My must have is James Cook.
Okay,
I drafted him in the third round last night. Mm-hmm. A little higher than he was actually projected,
mm-hmm.
just because I think he's a sure thing.
Right.
I think he's as close to a sure thing. Watching how he got used in the second half of the year last year, both running and passing,
mm-hmm.
I think he's set up for a huge, huge year. I'm staying away from Raheem Mostert just because I think that they're going to feature Devin Achan more. And I think that people who may not pay attention and only look at his numbers last year,
mm-hmm.
there's no way he's going to match the touchdown value that he got last year.
21 touchdowns.
There's no way. Cut it in half. Like there's just no way. So I'm staying away from him because I think he's bound to take a step back.
Right.
And my sleeper is Mike Williams.
Okay.
I think that nobody, you know, you talk about draft position.
Mm-hmm.
He's being drafted really, really low. Nobody's really talking about him because he's coming off ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably fair. But he just got activated and is officially good to go this week. And everybody, I mean, Rodgers loves to throw deep.
Right.
And that's what Mike Williams excels at.
Right.
So I really think that gets be a lethal combination.
Okay, I like it. So must have, I got Breece Hall. If you have a number one to number five pick, Breece Hall. I like him over Bijan and Christian McCaffrey, to be honest with you. I feel like he's poised for a big year, especially with offensive line that's much more improved than last year. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if that Achilles is bothering him even a little bit, look for him to be kind of a touch check down machine, and Breece Hall is going to reap the benefits on that. Stay away, Patriots offense. I just do not trust anyone in that offense. Even with Jacoby Brissett being serviceable, I just don't know who's going to be what in that offense. Number one receiver, number one running back. I'm just not confident in anything in that offense. And sleeper, I got Keon Coleman. Josh Allen, even with James Cook featuring a little bit more, I feel like you don't want to take the ball away too much away from Josh Allen, and he's got a cannon for an arm, and I feel like Keon Coleman is probably going to be the biggest beneficiary from that arm talent that Josh Allen has.
Okay, I like that one.
Yep,
a lot. Thank you. All right, so that concludes our preseason breakdowns.
Yep.
So now the fun part, we get to put all that together, and we're going to go through our conference standings for each conference 1 through 7, and then do our Super Bowl picks.
Yep.
So I will let you go first, my friend.
Oh boy. Okay.
You can pick whatever conference you want. Doesn't matter.
We'll do the NFC. We'll start with the NFC. So this one drove me crazy. I had a lot easier time picking the AFC, but the NFC, I had the Lions getting the number one seed. I just like the Lions. I mean, they have all the confidence in the world. They have the true leadership, Dan Campbell there. I feel like they're poised for a really good, solid year. Number two, I got Atlanta. Number two, I feel like their division isn't really up to par with Atlanta. I feel like Atlanta's the class right now in that division. So if they even go 5-1 in that division, all of a sudden you're up 5 wins already. That puts you in a great spot to get a top 3 seed, top 2 seed in my case. Number three, I got the Eagles.
Okay.
Four, I got San Francisco.
Okay.
And then this is the wild card teams are what just drove me insane.
Yeah.
Five, I got the Packers.
Okay.
Six, the Rams, and this is the one that killed me. Was I wanted to put Arizona on here so bad.
Me too.
So bad. But I went with the Cowboys.
Okay.
I think they'll be just good enough to sneak in there.
Okay.
Yep.
Very, very similar.
Okay.
Very similar. So Detroit, really the only thing that we flip-flopped with the division winners is I have San Fran 2 and Atlanta 4.
Okay.
So I have Eagles 3,
mm-hmm.
and then 5, Green Bay, 6, the Rams, 7, the Saints.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to say, oh, my boy.
I know, just for you.
Look at that.
Love you, bro.
Yeah, represent. Not even I have that faith in them.
So that's, yeah, so very similar.
Okay.
All right, I will start out with the AFC. I told everybody last year I'm done picking against the Chiefs.
Same. So
Kansas City number one.
Same.
Ravens two. I think that they're still going to have a really good year. I have Dolphins three. I have the Jags four, just because the Jags, I really wondered where to put them in that one through four, but mm-hmm. I think because their division is going to be good,
mm-hmm.
they're probably going to be maybe like that 10-11 win
yeah.
division winner.
Right.
And obviously that'll be lower as far as, you know, one through four.
Right.
So Jags four, I got the Jets five, Houston six, and Cleveland seven.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We're definitely different on this. I got KC one. That's where we're pretty much on par. I got the Jets, number two seed.
You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue. I got Cleveland at three.
Okay.
Houston, I had the winning division, so they're at four.
Yeah. So we had a lot of different division winners.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then Baltimore at five. So they go in there. Miami at six. And then Cincy at seven. I feel like a couple lessons I've learned is KC number one all the time.
Yep.
Twice on Sunday. And then three AFC North teams in there. Steelers, I feel like always sneak in there somehow. But I got Cincy in over them, and then Baltimore, and then the Browns.
Okay.
Yep. So those are my two rules that I kind of live and die by with the AFC.
All right. I like it.
Yep.
All right. Who's your Super Bowl pick?
I got the Lions and Baltimore in there.
Okay. Who do you have winning?
The Lions.
Okay.
I think the Lions will break their curse.
So wait. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
You picked against the Chiefs.
Oh
my gosh.
I've got them the number one seed. I will not, they will not three-peat. Please.
Oh my God. All right. I have the Chiefs winning over the Lions.
Wow. Really?
Three-peat.
Okay. Yep.
This is, and here's why. As much as I wanted to put the Ravens, the Jets, like mm-hmm. anybody else.
Right.
This is the best roster they've had in like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how this is the opposite time we should be picking against them. This is when we should be picking them. Like, I know that going for three is like insane and you know, being the defending champ, like all that crap. But like, number one, they've done it two times in a row.
Yeah.
They're used to it. And this is hands down the best roster they've had.
Yeah.
So how can you possibly, there's just no way I could justify picking against them.
I'm just going by the odds. Well, yeah. What are the odds of you? I mean, every other AFC team knows the team to be in that conference is Kansas City. You have a target on your back.
Yep.
Obviously you've staved them all, everybody off because you're the class of the AFC. But I mean, you've won two in a row. I don't want to question the hunger and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes for another Super Bowl because I think they're
it's fair though. It's
yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. It's just, I know they're as competitive as anybody else in the league. It's just, how much are you willing to put in now that you've won two? Like you've proven everything that you need to prove on the football field. So three-peat, I feel like it's going to be very hard for KC. I'm just playing the odds on this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I get that.
Baltimore, I feel like Lamar Jackson is still waiting to get there. I feel like Lamar Jackson took a big step last year with Tom
Hopkins. So let me back up. You have the Ravens making the Super Bowl as a wild card team.
Yes.
Interesting.
Now I have them beating Houston. And then probably beating whoever they go after that.
Interesting.
Yep.
I like
it. Yep. So Baltimore, I have a lot of confidence in Baltimore.
Okay. There. Yeah. And for me, like the NFC altogether mm-hmm. was very easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
I like even Detroit, like penciling them in there was very easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Detroit has the most complete team in the NFC.
Right.
And I just love their coach. I mean, we talked about it. I love their coaching. I feel really, really good about them.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled immensely with the AFC. I just feel like, again, you could give me any variation of this one through seven that I gave you,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be like, yeah, cool. I can see that.
Yeah.
So actually two through seven. Chiefs are number one.
Yeah, I mean, with the AFC, I have four automatic teams. I have three AFC North teams and KC. Those are like kind of my two rules that I've kind of developed over the years. But, and then after that, it's just about who the best teams are. And that's where I came up with.
Yep. All right, I like it. So the last thing that we have to do, we're going to do our week one picks. So as a reminder, we kind of went against each other last year. I beat Jeff last year.
What? Wait a second.
Jeff handled me last year. so we're going to do each week. We're going to do a lock, a game that we're very, very confident in.
Mm-hmm.
And then an upset, mm-hmm. you know, something that, you know, going against the spread or whatever you want to say.
Right.
So go, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Upset. This might, you might like it. You might hate me for it, but okay. I got the Broncos over the Seahawks. I think Bo Nix is going to start upset, off.
You said?
Yep. Broncos okay. over the Seahawks. I think Bo Nix is going to start off hot and Sean Payne's going to prove all the doubters wrong. Like, hey, this is my guy. And I, the Seahawks, I just don't know where too much,
that's in
too
Seattle, much
of where they are.
Do you know?
I think. I'd have to look. I don't, okay. I'm not sure. And then my lock, I got the Dolphins over the Jaguars. I think Dolphins are starting off the year and they're a little healthy. And they're obviously healthy on that offensive end. I think they're just going to blow by the Jaguars, who sometimes struggle offensively to find their identity.
Okay. Yep. So my lock is the Saints over the Panthers.
Ooh.
I just think that that's an easy one for me personally. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Saints making the playoffs. Panthers, not so much.
Right.
And then my upset is, again, people are going to think I'm a hater. That's fine. It is what it is. Cardinals over the Bills.
Mm.
I love this game. I just think it, to me, it was very easy to pick this as an upset, especially you and I both being as high on the Cardinals as we are.
Yeah.
The Bills coming into this game a little injured. Mm. I'm telling you, people, don't sleep on the Cardinals.
Right.
I think that they, even if they lose, this is going to be a one possession game,
right?
In my opinion.
Yeah, the Cardinals are like the one team, if they make the playoffs in the AFC, I would not be mad about getting that wrong because, like, I honestly, I'd probably get mad at myself for not picking them because I'm so convinced that they're going to get.
I know, me too.
Ugh.
Me too.
Okay.
Yep. I'm glad that we're both on the same page because if they flop and go like 4-13, like at least we did it together.
Going down in flames together. That's right.
Yep. All right. Right. Awesome. That was a fun episode. We got a lot covered. Yep. And actually, we stayed pretty much within time for the most part. So, all right. That's it.
Perfect.
We got real football next week.
Real football.
So next Sunday, we will be here recording during Sunday night game, as we always do. I think the first Sunday night game is Rams at the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
So should be a good one. And we'll break down all week one headlines. And we'll lay it all out for you guys.
Perfect.
Hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, see ya.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.